6th episode of the Watershed Wellness Podcast. I'm Eric Gray, licensed acupuncturist. I'm one of the owners of Watershed Wellness, and I'm your host today. Today we're going to be talking to Dr. Dion Nelson, who's a naturopathic doctor practicing in Portland at the Watershed Wellness and Lads Edition. And she's just going to introduce herself to you, talk about how she approaches medical practice. A lot of folks, you know, have some confusion about what naturopathic medicine is, you know, why would you go to a naturopath instead of going to a medical doctor? And so I always like to hear from different naturopaths how they answer that question. So you'll learn a little bit about that, learn a little bit about her practice. But then kind of our focus for the episode is really talking about one of the approaches she takes to healthcare, which is called health at every size, or a weight neutral approach to health. And so she talks about what that means, and she's talked about it also on the website. So you can see in the show notes for this episode links to her other content. And I think you'll just find it a really interesting discussion of how we can approach health in a different way than has been done in the past. So thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoy the podcast. Okay, so I'm here today. We're trying for the first time a remote podcast today, and we're talking with Dr. Dion Nelson, who's a naturopathic doctor at Watershed Wellness in Portland. And I just want to get this started by allowing Dr. Nelson to introduce herself, to kind of talk about really what brought her to the medicine and kind of just her orientation and approach, and we'll just go from there and then try to dig into some special content we're talking about today around health at every size and the whole weight-neutral approach to healthcare. So I'm really excited to talk to you, Dion. So why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself.
Okay. I'm super excited to be here. This is such fun. So I have a fairly long history, I guess, in the health related fields. I ended up after a little while after college going into massage therapy, and that's kind of how I got started. I really enjoyed that, but I was also in Texas, and there really aren't naturopaths in Texas. Huh. And so the alternative healthcare practitioners are generally the chiropractors and the massage therapists. So often we would end up being asked about, or just working outside of that particular scope of practice, and, you know, recommending supplements and things like that. Sure. And I always felt very uncomfortable doing that, although I got asked all the time, what do you think about this? And
right.
So I found out, I actually don't remember how I found out about naturopathic medicine, but I did, so yay.
Yay.
And I started doing some research, and I thought, you know, this sounds really great, and it would give me something other than just massage to do, which, although I loved it, it is a very physical job, so yeah. Not necessarily always something you can do forever.
Yeah.
Although a lot of people do it for a long time.
True.
And so I thought that that would be great. And then also I would be able to learn all this stuff that people kept asking me about, and I kept also wondering about. Mm-hmm. So that led me to Portland ultimately, where I went to NCNM, which is now in UNM, mm-hmm. and graduated from there about 5 years ago, and have been, you know, working on building a practice and also recovering.
Right. Yeah. The notoriously difficult blow we all take for our medical education.
Exactly. That's the super short version. I get really excited about being able to help people and, you know, just offering them options outside of the conventional
Sure.
medical model. And I don't have any issues with the conventional medical model in that I think that what they do well, they do really well.
Yeah,
of course. Then often what we do well, which is more chronic, they're really good at diagnosing and acute stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so I'm definitely – that's very necessary.
Of course.
But we do tend to do a much better with the chronic
Sure.
care, and then, you know, not overusing medications usually.
Right. Yeah. And preventative care as
yeah,
well. Right.
And preventative yeah. care as well.
Yeah.
Which, you know, hopefully if you're doing preventative care, right, you don't know it, right. Cause they just don't get sick, and you're like,
right.
well, like, I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't have gotten sick anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. That's always a difficult thing to understand. So,
right.
I think, interesting for folks who, you know, because naturopathic medicine, it's one of those terms that's still incredibly misunderstood, and like, you know, just in that people don't have no idea what it means. And part of it is, right, it's built into the education where you learn so many modalities. I mean, you learn basically allopathic medicine, and then you learn all these modalities on top of it all. And so I know that most naturopaths tend to kind of specialize in one area of medicine or another. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, about where you are with that?
So to talk a little bit about naturopathic medicine, basically, you're right. We do get in the four-year accredited schools, we do get basically what an MD would get as far as basic education and diagnostics, imaging, the basic sciences, all that kind of stuff. And then we also are taught what are standard protocols for the conventional medical world as well.
Right.
And so we have an understanding of that, but then also we learn things like herbs and homeopathy and physical medicine, which would be like manipulations like chiropractors would do. Mm-hmm. There's a lot but along those lines. And so, that really sets us up to be really great generalists,
right,
which is great. And that's generally what I do is right now. I don't have anything in particular that I'm focused on as far as a condition that I'm just like really good at working with. I really enjoy working with a variety of conditions.
Sure.
I do naturally end up seeing, just because this is our population in general, seeing a lot of thyroid, sugar dysregulation.
Sure.
And I do work with a lot of that. Right. In fact, I have long been interested in diabetes and type 2 diabetes more than type 1.
Sure.
That's not often delineated.
Yeah.
And then also sugar dysregulation and insulin resistance in people, which often is starting to lead me more into the direction of polycystic ovary syndrome, because that's a part of that as well. It's being a very big topic, but I'm very interested in it because especially I tend to work with a larger population.
Right.
Of course, not my patients are larger, but I do tend to work with that population, and while most of them do not have significant blood sugar issues, the ones that do often are essentially told to go lose weight, and then they're not really given a lot of guidance
as
far as how to take better care of themselves and how to manage their blood sugar in a way that will help them in the future. And I'm sorry.
No. I was just going to say, so just to make it clear, like, you do sometimes order blood work for folks,
absolutely.
And you, and then, like, let's say, you know, so if a person comes in and they are regardless of their situation, they are having blood sugar dysregulation issues, you're going to be doing kind of lifestyle stuff, like talking to them about what are you going to be doing with that patient? I think that's, people are always really curious about that.
So I would talk about lifestyle things. It's a little complicated and everybody's a little different. So I'm looking at a variety of things because I'm coming, and I guess I can segue a little bit into health at every size now, and we can talk a little further about it in a minute. But because I do come from this approach where I'm not going to just tell people to lose weight, which is the normal way of dealing with this. And also I'm trying to take into account people potentially having had disordered eating patterns in the past or histories of dieting and weight fluctuations, and then potentially people have had frank eating disorders.
Right.
So I don't always jump right into nutrition.
Sure.
I always want to feel that out for people. And so what I tend to do, especially with a first time client, is trying to set up what I consider like sort of the base of a pyramid. And if any of you have seen me, you have heard this. So you have a base of a pyramid that of health that is basically things like what you eat, what movement you do? Do you get enough sleep? How do you manage your stress? Do you have social connections? You know, are you getting sunshine? Those sort of really basic things that just, you know, do you have a safe place to live?
Yeah.
Those really basic things that just keep us alive,
right.
And then also provide a really great, beyond just living, a really great foundation for our health.
Of course.
And having that solid foundation, no matter what happens with your health, you have more resilience. You tend to have more resiliency and more ability to handle whatever comes, because all of us are going to have issues with our health at some point. Hopefully,
right.
Not bad ones, and hopefully they'll be something that will go away with time. But you know, like our bodies deal with stuff all the time.
Of course. Yeah.
And so, I really have a major focus on that, and. So we start there, and we start trying to get people with that basics down. Now, if somebody needs medication, I do medication. It's not always my first choice, but sometimes it's the best choice initially.
Sure.
And then I want to find out, you know, especially with blood sugar, I want to find out how they're eating. I want to find out how often they're eating. Are they having spikes and drops in their blood sugar?
Sure.
Are they moving regularly?
Right.
You know, are they over-exercising? Are they overstressed?
Sure.
There are so many things that go into it. So, and everybody's a little different. So
of
it's
course.
Hard to say, you know, I do X, Y, Z.
Yeah, of course. Of course. But so it will be a lot of like education, patient education,
yeah.
And kind of just partnering with them to find a help support them in putting a plan in place for that kind of resiliency, basically.
Absolutely. And I love explaining how things work. So if you ever have questions.
Yeah. Sure.
I love doing that because I feel like a lot of times we don't get that information, which is important to understand how your body works and at least basically why it's doing what it's doing.
Right.
Then it can help you determine, you know, how to work your life in such a way that is providing the best care that you can for your own body.
Totally. Okay. And so, you know, I mean, this, we've talked about it, we've touched on the topic a couple times now, but, you know, this whole health at every size approach, you've written a couple articles on the website about it. I think, you know, in a general media sense, it's becoming a little, you know, it's percolating a little bit with the recent publication of some books and, you know, so a little, there's a little bit more interest and focus on it. So I thought maybe, you know, just a little couple minutes, like what is this health at every size thing? And I know there's related concepts, you know, that are,
yeah.
that are related to it. So maybe you can just help demystify it a bit for us.
Okay. So, basically, health at every size, it has been around for actually well over 20 years. The book that Linda Bacon wrote about it is 20 years old this year. So, and then she has written a newer book with Lucy Appermore called Body Respect, which I would recommend people read that first because it's just a little newer.
Okay.
And it's got some additional stuff in it that's important. But basically, one of the things that people will often come at me with is like health at every size. You can't be healthy at every size, but not everybody's healthy at every size. And that's true. Not everybody's healthy at every size.
Right.
The idea behind health at every size, and maybe we should change the name. I don't know, but I can't do that. is that size matter and weight matters much less than we think that it does.
Sure.
So there are cases where it does matter, but in general, if you are doing things that are healthy for you, so, you know, like sort of setting yourself up with that foundation of that pyramid of health, right, where you're doing things that are supporting your health, even if you're, say, naturally a larger person, because there is the idea of size diversity. We have people who are very small naturally, very large naturally.
Right.
And then all in between.
Right.
So if you're, say, a very naturally large person and you're doing these things that are very healthy for you, you can be healthy and active and doing really well, but still be a larger size. Or even if you're a really small person, somebody may think, oh, no, they're, you know, not eating. They're anorexic.
Right.
But they can be very slight and very small, but also, you know, doing things that are very healthy for them and being very and being in a great place health-wise.
Right.
So, and then anybody can also be unhealthy. So right.
Of course.
You can be somebody who looks maybe like they would be very healthy, but, you know, you're doing things that are not supporting your health. Maybe you're smoking and, you know, eating poorly, or, you know, not getting any exercise, those sorts of basic things, or you're stressed all the time, or you're not sleeping. And maybe you look okay, and so maybe those things will be overlooked by even your healthcare practitioners.
Right. So just to say, so what I'm hearing, and I think this is pretty clear in what you're saying, that it's just a perspective on health that takes the kind of obsessive focus off of the actual body weight of the person and puts it more on a kind of more holistic, you know, like actually looking at how healthy they actually are and not just their size of their bodies, right?
Exactly. That's it exactly. Okay. You've got a nice way of distilling things.
Okay. Okay. And so it's an approach to health and it's now health at every size. That's like a trademarked name. Is that like a...
It is. Okay. The Association for Size Diversity and Health did trademark it so that they could have a little more control over,
sure,
you know, what it was,
yeah,
and what it meant.
Okay.
And there is also a factor of it that talks about weight stigma.
Okay.
And that is also an issue that, again, I'm probably going to be writing some stuff about this soon. So we'll have articles. But weight stigma can also interfere with health. Stigma in general can interfere with health. So it doesn't have to be weight stigma. There are other stigmas that people deal with every day that cause just minute amounts of stress constantly. And so weight stigma is one of those things. And Health at Every Size is working hard, or the people who practice Health at Every Size and follow that are also working hard to make sure that we can create a world where body size is not stigmatized and there aren't assumptions that if you're larger, you're unhealthy or you're lazy or stupid,
right,
or dirty, because those are things that often people think of when they think of fat people. And I use the word fat here just to say, is it a descriptor? And that's something that also we're talking about is instead of using medicalized terms like overweight and obese, just using descriptors like fat and thin, calling somebody thin is not considered bad. Often calling somebody fat is considered bad, but it is just a descriptor.
Right.
And everybody has their own way of feeling about that. So,
sure.
But I personally am, I think it's important for us to use fat as a descriptor. So,
sure,
you know, often when people think of fat people, they think very negatively.
Of course.
And that is certainly not true. Every single one of us knows a fat person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
maybe more than one. And we know that generally those people are, you know, if they're your friends, you're like, oh, but they're smart and successful.
Right.
And, you know, hardworking and all of the great stuff.
Yeah.
But then we look at somebody we don't know and we start automatically assuming bad things.
Right.
So I think that's important too, because it affects people in so many ways, and that affects their health.
Yes.
And that's not something that we can, you know, change overnight, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
And so my goal is to make at least my office a safe place for people to come in of any size.
Right.
I don't just see fat people.
Yeah.
But of any size to come in and know that I'm not going to be, you know, diagnosing them according to their body or judging them because of their body. And I'm going to be working with them on their health. And I want my place, our office, not just my office, but really our whole clinic, be a sanctuary for anybody who comes in, regardless of who they are or what they look like.
Right.
And I know that all of us feel that way.
Definitely.
And then ultimately my hope is to be able to reach out to other practitioners, and really there has been some work done already, and I want to continue that work, getting practitioners to be take better care of people who are larger, and to also recognize that, you know, body size does not indicate health, and then treat people appropriately.
Right.
It's like I said, even thin people get lost in that too.
Right. Oh yeah. And I didn't even think about that. I mean, that's
small,
yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Or Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, we're getting up in the 20 minute range, but I think one great thing, like you said, we can absolutely get on a podcast again and talk about, you know, in more depth, like let's talk about the stigma piece or whatever. And I know that you're also doing work on your own that we'll obviously share with folks as well, but maybe in the show notes for this podcast that you could share a few resources that can just get people oriented. I'll of course link to our content on the website, but then you know, just anything on any other site, or just so that people can start to get a sense for it. And I do want to encourage anybody who's listening, you know, we do have at watershedwellnesspodcast.com, we have a form where you can submit questions. And so if you have any questions about this, or if there's a specific resource that you're interested in, we'll do our best to find it, and I'll pass all those questions on to Dr. Nelson. And so, you know, just because of course people are going to have questions about this. So any resources you can share would be great. But if you just want to wrap this up, you know, just one thing I like to do with all these kind of more introductory podcasts is just to ask you, to how you'd like people to reach out to you and the best way to get in touch with you, and any last remarks you have right now.
The best way is probably through email. So you can find that on our site easily, watershedwellnesspdx.com. But my email is Dion, D-E-A-U-N, at watershedwellnesspdx.com.
Great.
That's generally the easiest way to get in touch with me. You can also, of course, always call the office and they can get in contact with me.
Of course.
And then if you want to schedule an appointment, it's always easiest to go online and do that.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
great.
So that's the best way to get a hold of me.
Great.
And I'm happy to answer questions and
Great. Great.
If people are concerned.
Yeah. And like I said, we can put links to your other work as well so that people can get the full view. So, okay. Well,
hopefully in the next couple of weeks, I'll get out a few more articles.
Yeah. Well, it takes time, you know,
it
takes time to
get a lot of ideas.
So. It's great to talk to you, Dion, and I will look forward to future podcasts.
Okay.
All right. Talk thanks a lot.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.